Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading will come from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 36. When you get there, say amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 36. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him." I've just read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 36.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We appreciate so much you are being here with us. And we are thankful on our Friends and Family Day that those of you who have decided to grace us with your presence have come. We are delighted to have you. We appreciate so much all those who can be with us on this occasion. If you're here and maybe it's your first time visiting with us at the Church of Christ, not only you are honored guests, but also we'd like to extend to you that if there's any questions you have in reference to what you see us do, or just any Bible question that you may have, if you want more information, we'll be glad to answer, entertain those questions. See me at the back, and or if necessary, ask someone that maybe who has invited you, or one of these brothers, and we've got plenty of capable people here of answering Bible questions. So, but we want you to make sure that if you have any questions regarding your salvation, if we can assist you, we certainly would be glad and honored to do that. Mark chapter 4. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So the Bible says they took him as he was. And that's what we want to note for a title this morning. They took him as he was. Jesus had entered into a boat, and great multitudes had assembled, and they were listening to Jesus' teaching. This will be parallel to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is teaching parables, and later on he's going to explain those parables to his disciples. But as he is teaching by parables, and as the day has been long, Jesus finally decides to send the crowd away. And he tells the disciples, he said, "Let us pass over to the other side." And the Bible says the disciples took him just as he was. As he was right there present in the boat, as he was. They didn't change anything. They just took Jesus as he was. But there's more in this meaning. They took him as he was because the reason that the Bible says that is because it was customary for those individuals, as they were fishermen, to go into their villages, to the homes and what have you, and provide what they needed for the voyage. But on this particular occasion, they didn't do that. They didn't go and get what they thought they needed to pass to the other side. They simply just took Jesus as he was. They could have said, "Okay, Lord, we're going to pass over on the other side. You know, let's go and let's provide for the journey. Let's go get everything we need." But for some reason, they simply took Jesus as he was in the boat. And they began to set a sail for the other side. It turns out that all they needed was right there in the boat with them. They had Jesus in the boat. And whether they knew it or not, there was a storm coming. And certainly they were not aware of that storm. The only one who would have been aware of that storm was Jesus, because this is going to be a test of their faith. But the Bible says they took him as he was. They didn't go provide anything for themselves. They didn't go get what they felt they needed. And they simply took Jesus as he was and set a sail onto the other side. And a storm met them. And it turns out that Jesus was their salvation from the storm. So all they needed and all they would ever need was already with them. I guess that helps us to appreciate why they didn't have to go get anything. Yes, sir. And I wish that men could learn that very lesson today. That all you need, and all you're ever going to need for your spiritual life, for everything that you desire, for the hope of eternal life in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Redeemer of all ages, all you will ever need is wrapped up in Jesus. You don't need anything else. And the reason this is so important, if you're listening to me this morning, is because there are some great storms coming. And there are some storms coming that we'll all have to face alike. And these storms, Jesus is not going to do anything to prevent these storms from happening into your life. Let me just quickly talk to you about three of them. Number one, the storm of death is coming to each and every one of us. The Bible says it is an appointment. Man has an appointment with death, and that is a storm. The reason that's going to be a storm for many people is because that death seals some things. It seals you in whatever position you die in. And so when you consider what Jesus said in John 8:21, Jesus says, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. And we know exactly where Jesus was going. He was returning to heaven. And Jesus said, if any man die in his sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. That storm of death is coming. But also there's a storm of judgment. Just like death has been appointed, the Bible says after death, man has to face the judgment. Consider what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 and 11. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things that he has done in his body according as he had done, whether it be good or bad. Everyone has to go and stand before God in the judgment. And Paul says in verse number 11, knowing therefore the terror, which is the Greek word phobos, it is a greatly fearful thing for an individual to stand before an omniscient God who knows everything, and an omnipotent God who has unlimited power. When you stand before a being that knows everything, which means there's nothing that can be hid from him, all the secret things will be revealed unto him. And then you're talking about a God who is omnipotent, who has unlimited knowledge. He is El Shaddai, because he is the all-powerful God and nothing is impossible to him. When you stand before that God in judgment, it is a fearful thing to have failed to flee from his wrath. That's a storm, and it's going to be a great storm for many people. And then there is the matter that Jesus mentions in Matthew 25 and verse number 46, the matter of eternal damnation, where Jesus said, and these shall go away into everlasting destruction. Those are three storms, my friend, that's coming. We all are going to have to deal with death. We all are going to have to deal with the judgment. And if we are not right, we're going to deal with eternal consequences of those things. Anyone who faces these storms without Christ is going to perish. So, my point then for you this morning is, you don't need anything else. All you need is Jesus. The disciples took him as he was. The question for you today is, will you take him as he is? You see, everything you need pertaining to your soul salvation, so that you can be ready to face death, so that you can be ready to stand before God and see his face in peace, so that you can avoid the eternal consequences of eternal damnation, everything you need for your salvation is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I mean. Salvation is in his name. All you need is Jesus' name. Salvation is in his name. You don't need to be called by any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation is found only in him. And you know what? That's what those men boldly said to the Sanhedrin, to that council. They said that to them in boldness in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. They said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name among men under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ and in his name only. You see, that's why his name had to be preached. They had to preach the name of Jesus. Why? Because salvation is in his name. You know what? If you was going to preach today and you wanted to save somebody, you wouldn't go preach my name. Or would you? No. Why? No salvation in my name. The name stands for the person. But when they wanted to save individuals, the one thing they had to preach, all of them had to preach, they had to preach the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5, that's what Philip was doing down in Samaria. The Bible says, and he went down there into Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, when they heard Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. They believed. They were baptized, both men and women. Why? Because he preached Christ unto them. He preached his kingdom unto them. He was preaching Christ unto them. Why? There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. If I preach any other name, it lacks the power. It lacks the ability, the efficacy to save me from my sin. You don't need any other name. The name of Jesus Christ is all you need. And you know what? If you move forward, the Spirit told Philip to move, and he had to go down toward the southernmost part of Palestine to the area of Gaza. He goes down there, and he leaves this wonderful work that he has just done with all of these folks obeying the gospel. Now he has to go to this desert area, and it's interesting that when he gets to that desert area, he runs into an Ethiopian eunuch. And that eunuch is there, and he is confused as to who the prophet Isaiah is speaking about as he's reading that prophet. And he says, as Philip goes and joins himself to him, he says to him, do you understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And you know what? The Bible says, he then started right there and preached unto him Jesus. Began at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Because in Jesus' name is where man finds salvation. Don't need to preach anything else. Don't need to preach any other man's name. Just preach Jesus. Why? Because therein is where man will find salvation. The Bible says, and as they went on their way, came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip saith unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There that name is again. Bible says he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He immersed him in the water. When they would come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. A man who started out confused ends up rejoicing in the end. Why? Because Jesus was preached unto him. Amen. It was something about the name Jesus. Salvation is in his name. Now, isn't that wonderful? When you got Jesus, you know that I got salvation in that person. I got salvation in Christ. I got salvation in Jesus because his name means salvation. Well, think about it this way. You don't need to be called by any other name. You don't need to be called by any other name. If you can just imagine this with me, just imagine we have Jesus. And here is Jesus. And all I need is Jesus. But for some reason, unlike the disciples who just took him as he was, and it turned out to be their salvation, today we have to go and gather stuff. You see, we will tell Jesus, just wait right there. I've got to get some other things. I've got to go gather some stuff, because I don't know what's going to happen on this trip. And so just imagine today we go out and gather all of these other things, and sometimes we gather up different people. We want to get some co-leaders to lead with Jesus. Now, I'm suggesting all you need is Jesus. But folk go over here today and they grab Wesley. They grab Smith. They grab Parham. They grab Calvin. They grab Luther. And they grab all of these other individuals, and then they come back as if they're going to co-lead with Jesus. Now, I just told you, according to the scriptures, that there's salvation and no other name. So if you go get Wesley, you go Smith, you get Calvin, you get Parham, and all those kind of things. They, my friends, are the individuals who are responsible for beginning their own religions and starting their own churches. We know them today as denominations. And you go over here, you grab these individuals. Wait a minute, all you need is Jesus. But you grab these other individuals, and you know what they do? They give you a different name. Why do you get a different name? You get a different name so that you can identify your faith, your practice, your religion. And so you call yourself something else, and yet trying to identify with all you needed. And what they do is they show us the differences between us. Now, I'm just trying to say to you, my friends, this is not according to Scripture. Amen. God didn't do this. Man did. Yeah. So today, listen, there may be among us today, as there is in the world, some may be Baptists, some may be Methodists, some may be Presbyterian, some may be Pentecostal, some may be Catholic, some may be Lutheran, some may be all of these different kind of things. Why? Because man started some things God never authorized him to start, and they divided us and gave us different names to identify our faith and our practice, which is different from someone else. Now, I'm just simply telling you, that goes against what God decided here. See, they're going to change your name. Now you're going to become a Methodist Christian. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't need no help. Jesus didn't need any help. You a Baptist Christian. Why? Because that identifies you differently from the Methodist Christian. That identifies you differently from the Presbyterian Christian. That identifies you different. That says that your faith is different, your religion is different, and your practice is different. And my friends, God said that he wanted everybody to be the same. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I just want you to know, I don't want you to get mad. I want you to get glad. I want you to get glad that you just here to hear the truth this morning. That's why we invited you, so we can tell you the truth. Can't we tell you the truth in our own house? Now, I probably can't come to your church and preach this because you won't let me. Now, if you invite me, I will. But you probably won't let me. Why? Because it's not going to go along with your doctrine. But what we have to do is preach the Bible doctrine. The Bible has its own doctrine. In John chapter 17, listen to the prayer of Jesus in verse number 20.
That they all neither pray I for these alone.
Now listen, neither pray I for these alone. Can you imagine the disciples going away and becoming something else religiously and yet identifying with Christ? He said, neither pray I for these alone. So he wasn't just simply talking about his disciples, because all they needed was Jesus. Read.
But for them also which shall believe on me.
But for them also which shall believe on me through what?
Through their word.
Jesus had commissioned those men to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. You go out, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15, and 16. They were the ones who were responsible for taking the gospel to the whole known world at that time. Spread that gospel throughout the world. And Jesus' prayer is that when you spread that gospel in the world, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for those who are going to believe on me through your word, the gospel that you are preaching, that they all might be what?
Maybe one.
That they all may be
one.
He wanted us all to be one. And that agrees with the rest of your New Testament. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, or rather Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, he said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father's above all, through all, and in you all, that they all might be one. Why? There's only one body. You might as well be one in the same body. There's only one spirit, one in the same spirit, one Lord. There's only one faith, not your faith. I got my faith, one system of faith, one baptism. You don't get baptized with the Holy Spirit baptism. This one get baptized with baptism of fire. This one get water baptism. Only one valid baptism. He said that they all might be one. He wanted them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, he wanted them to be unified. He was bringing people together in one.
Bible says in the dispensation of the full time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, even in him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. And that way you can search behind me, that they all may be one. But keep reading that if you will.
That they all might be one.
Uh-huh.
As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Now, when he commissioned the disciples out to go and spread the gospel throughout all the world, do you know what they were called? In Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26, the Bible says that those disciples who had been following Christ all those times, led by those men who will ultimately be the apostles, the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know what? They weren't called Christian anything else, just Christian only. That's all they needed. Why? Because all they needed was Christ. Christ wasn't a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, a Methodist, or any of those kind of things, a Lutheran. He wasn't that. You know those things didn't exist. Those men had not been born yet to come into the world and start bringing about their own churches and their own religions. And all they needed was Christ. And so those folks were becoming Christians. They couldn't identify with any denominationalism because they did not exist. And I'm telling you today, they still shouldn't exist. What we need to do is do what they did.
Yes,
all we need is Christ. And those folks, it was good enough for them to simply be called Christians. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And you know what? When Paul stood before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28, you know what Agrippa said to Paul? He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be what?
A Christian.
A Christian. He couldn't say anything else because nothing else existed. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul says, I would not that you were almost, but altogether, such as I am. Had Agrippa been altogether persuaded to be anything, you know what he would have become?
Christian.
A Christian. My friends, what I'm telling you is you don't need anything else. All you need is Jesus, because salvation is in his name. But not only that, salvation is in his cross. The way to the crown is by way of the cross, my friends. And you know what Peter did? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. Peter attempted to remove Christ from his cross. You see, some folks, they want to be saved, but they don't want to go by way of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want salvation, the way to the crown is by way of the cross. Read what he says in verse number 22 beginning.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him.
Why? Because Jesus said he's going to die. He's going to be put to death. And so he, in other words, Jesus says, I got to go to the cross. I'm going to the cross and men are going to put me to death. They're going to treat him shamefully and stuff. And he's going to die. He tells them he's going to resurrect. But Peter says what?
Be it far from thee,
Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord. Peter doesn't want this to happen. Come on, read.
This shall not be unto thee.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Now, you don't have to know a lot about the Bible to understand and appreciate the implications of what would have occurred had Peter prevailed. Do you? Do you understand what would have happened had Peter's suggestion been heeded? That would mean no salvation for us. Thank God Christ didn't listen to Peter. Peter was trying to remove him from the cross, unknowing to him that the cross is his salvation. You see, the cross, he had to go to the cross so that he could taste death for every one of us. So that he could die in our place. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he should, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. He had to go to the cross so that he could be wounded for our transgressions. That's what Isaiah says in 53 and verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace was upon us. And by his stripes, we are healed. He had to go to the cross so God could take the iniquities that we had committed and place them on the Jesus. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. If there's no cross, there can be no crown. He had to go to the cross. And you know what? Man must bear his cross. That's what Jesus tells him, and that's the reason man does not want to take Christ as he is. Because if you take Christ as he is, you know, I like to say it this way. Sometimes people look at Christ and they want to take all the what they deem to be the good parts. Now, all of it is good, but sometimes people differentiate. See, I want the good parts. I want all that's good about Jesus as it pertains to me and the way I think about it. Because I don't see the cross and persecution and all that stuff that comes with it as a good thing. I don't want to have to suffer to live this Christian life. I just want Jesus, and I want all the good that comes along with it. Jesus says, no, if you want me, because there were people who was following him even in his earthly ministry. Jesus would feed 4,000 people, 5,000 people. Jesus looked at those people and said, you didn't come to me for the bread that I came to truly give. You came to me because you saw the loaves. Now, I appreciate all those who are here. But what if we had said we're going to give out $1,000 to everyone who shows up here today? The fire marshal would be here. I'm glad we didn't have to coerce you that way to get you in here to hear gospel truth. But when Jesus was feeding people who could have been in real poverty-stricken situations, and they saw the loaves, Jesus understood it. He said, you didn't come for the bread that I truly came to give, because he came to give that bread that comes out of heaven. In other words, he came to give the bread for the soul.
Yes, sir.
He came to feed the sin-sick souls and to bring them out of the sinful condition and feed their souls so they can grow mature in Christ and one day be in heaven. But you came because you saw the loaves. You saw what I did over there with the 4,000. Now all of you show up and you want me to feed you again. Oh, I wish you came for the right reason.
Yes, sir.
Reason man don't want to take Christ as he is, because Christ says he too must bear his cross, Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It requires a denial of self. It gets down to whether or not you want yours now or you want it later. Let me ask you this. You living in this life, you want everything you got coming to you right now? Because if you want it all right now, you can get it. But don't look for anything in the next life. What do you want? You want the applause of men? We talked about offending people. Sometimes people say, well, you know what? You shouldn't offend people. Look, I can't help offending people with the gospel. Well, I know some of you offended right now. Because I told them they don't need these man-made churches and names and all those kind of things. I don't know if that offends you. I hope it don't offend you, but if it offends you, I hope it offends you in a good way and you do something about it. No salvation in any other name other than Jesus Christ. I just have to tell you the truth. I don't mean to offend you. The word of God offends you. And if your heart is not acceptable to truth, then the truth I speak is not going to go over well with you. Well, look with me, if you will, to Acts, or rather, let's go to Luke chapter 6. It gets down to whether or not you want yours here or in the hereafter. You see, if you want the applauses of men, if you try to live that life, as Craig was talking about in Bible study, don't judge people. No one judges anyone for anything anymore, all this kind of stuff. Well, that's something they can't even be consistent with in the world. But, you know, people say, well, don't judge me, or we don't want to offend people, and we don't want folk to offend us. Let me tell you something, my friend. If you ever need to be offended, just go ahead and let the word of God do it, because that might be to your salvation. That might be your salvation. I'd rather somebody offend me with the truth than their foolishness. Now, if you're offending me with the truth, all I have to do is change my mind about that truth, and I can no longer be offended. And I might find Jesus in the process. Wasn't Saul of Tarsus offended until he found Jesus on that Damascus road? He was offended at those people that was going around and they was bringing this new gospel and this new way of living and all this stuff, propagating that stuff all through Jerusalem and throughout Palestine. And Saul was offended by this stuff. And he went over there and he got permission and got letters that if I find anybody teaching along this way, that we might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He not only wanted to imprison them, he said that he consented to their death, and he was furious and mad, foaming at the mouth, enraged at these people. He was offended, and then he met Jesus. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts chapter 9, verse number 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Wait a minute, I didn't know it was you. But let me tell you something. My son is back there. If you offend him, don't you think you're going to affect me? Your children are here. If somebody offends your children, don't you think that's going to impact you?
Yes, sir.
Well, they were messing with God's children. Amen. And he learned a valuable lesson that day. What I do to them, I'm doing to Christ. He takes that personally.
Yes, sir.
He could have been offended. And he could have continued in his offense. But you know what? He got himself together. And he said, Lord, what would I have me to do? That man dropped his religion and everything else and became a Christian, obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you must bear your cross, but it just gets down to whether or not you want yours here or you want it later. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse number 26. Look at verse number 26.
Woe unto you.
When all men speak well of you, listen, I should not be a gospel preacher if I'm concerned about everybody applauding me, if I'm concerned about everybody patting me on the back, if I'm concerned about who I'm going to offend, if I'm concerned about who's going to like me, if I'm concerned about all those kind of things, get out of the pulpit. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. Why do you think your Lord was killed?
Yes, sir.
He was offending people. With what? Not with his bad attitude, with the truth. Why do you think the Apostle Paul had his head taken from his body? Because he was offending people, not with his bad attitude. Are we all capable of that? He was offending people with the truth. Why do you think Peter was crucified upside down? Because he was offending people. Why do you think John was on the pile of Patmos stranded? Because he was offending people. Why do you think James was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple? Because he was offending people. Listen, if I'm going to do something that our Lord wasn't able to do, then I need to get out of preaching. Now, if you want the applauses of men, you want everybody to like you and be agreeable to you and all those kind of things, then go ahead. You can soften this message. You can tell people what they want to hear. You can come in here and tell y'all, oh, y'all, come on now, just give Jesus a hand and get up and shout and act like you know and touch your neighbor. And we can do all those kind of things and have a good time, and nobody gets any better for it.
Amen.
Or I can tell you the truth and save your sin sick soul because you respond to it.
Amen.
Now, what I have to help you to appreciate, now, you came in here today and we invited you here. We glad you're here. But this is what you can expect every time you show up. The word of God and the Bible being preached every single time, scripture after scripture after scripture, and then let you go and investigate it. And then if you want to ask questions, we'll answer those too. We're not going to be offended because you say, wait a minute now, what about this? Oh, well, let's look at it. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. You know why? Because it's not important that I get it right. It's important that the Bible is right. And when the Bible is right, we need to just agree with the Bible. That's it. You want yours now? You want the applauses of men? Read that again, verse 26.
Woe unto you. That when all men speak well of you.
For
so did their fathers.
Now you can go back in the Old Testament and you can read through the prophets and you can find what those people were doing. They were saying unto them, prophesy unto us smooth things. They literally told them, prophesy deceit. Lie to us. Don't tell us that truth. You know why? They knew what you and I have been knowing for a long time. Truth hurts.
Yes, sir.
That's why folk don't tell it all the time.
Yes, sir.
Truth may hurt you. May hurt your feelings. May hurt your situation. Mm-hmm. Truth hurt because truth might make you change. Wait a minute, I've been going this way for so long. But the truth says you're still going in the wrong direction.
Yes, sir.
And the longer you go, it's not going to change. The truth, just because you decide to go in that direction. So the truth, I tell you, you need to do an about face. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3 and verse number 5. Mm-hmm. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you turn around, you shall all likewise perish. Oh, they saw, oh, what about those people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell? Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, what about those people who Pilate took and mingled their blood with the sacrifices of animals? Jesus said, I tell you, nay, you think this is something? I tell you, nay, if you don't repent, you're going to perish as well.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy, that was our Lord. That's who he was. You want the applauses of men? You don't want Jesus. If you get the applause of men, you got your reward. Don't expect anything else. Drop back to verse number 21. Listen.
Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled.
Hey, wait a minute. You see that word blessed? It is the Greek word makarios. Now that word means well off, fortunate, happy.
Yes, sir.
So whenever you see that word blessed, just think about happy. Read it again, but this time say happy.
Happy are ye that hunger now.
You want your happiness now? You see, some folks say, I just want to be happy, and the Lord just won't be happy, and all I want to do. Some people say that, and they do the wrong thing in order to get it. Yeah. Some people say they want happiness, and they go against God in order to fulfill it. God don't want you happy, my friends, if it comes at the expense of doing his will and living faithfully for him.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you need to learn to be happy about something else. Now watch this. Read.
Happy are ye that hunger now.
Happy are ye if you hunger now.
You shall be filled.
What are you hungering for? You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Are you looking for something? Did you come here today because you're in search of something? Did you come here today because you want to change something? Did you come here today because something in you is not right? Are you looking for truth? Are you looking for something with some substance to it? Are you tired of the same old thing that goes unfulfilling in your soul? If you're looking for something, he says, blessed, happy are you that you are looking for something else that the world is not providing for you. He's right here in the boat. And you done got out the boat because you're looking for something else. But all you need was just go ahead and sail onto the other side with Christ. Mm-hmm. You see, you and I are going on the other side. Here we are in life, and we are going
to the other side.
Yes, sir.
When we get to the other side, time's up. And I got Jesus in my boat right here, and I'm saying, wait a minute, I got to go get some other stuff. I'm saying, if Jesus is in the boat, get in there and let's go. Because that's all you need. Salvation is in his cross. Well, are you willing to forego some of those things that you desire today? Some of the applauses of men? All this so-called happiness and thrilled with all of this temporary stuff. Mm-hmm. Will you take up your cross and follow Christ? Will you bear patiently every affliction, difficulty, troubles, persecution, trials to be identified with him as belonging to him, and whatever comes with that, Lord, I will patiently bear it. I'll take up my cross. That's why Peter and John in Acts chapter 5, verse number 41, after they got beaten by the council, they went out and went on their way rejoicing because they were glad they were able to suffer shame for his name. Mm-hmm. All you need is Jesus, because salvation is in his blood. If you will take Jesus as he is, don't forget his atoning blood. You see, it's the blood that's the purchase price. Peter said, we need Jesus' blood because that blood was used to purchase us or to buy us, if you will. 1 Peter 1:18-19, he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver and gold, or those with the vain conversation received by the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Paul also said that we have been redeemed by his blood, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, my friends, when God looked down upon man and saw his situation in sin, God decided on a price that would get man back to him. And the price was blood. But it had to be perfect. The sacrifice had to be perfect. It had to be without flaw. It had to be without blemish. It had to be without spot. It had to be absolutely perfect. So somebody had to live the absolutely sacrificially perfect life. So Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, came down here, robed himself in flesh, and lived that perfectly sinless life and became the Lamb of God. John 1:29, that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what we needed. And it was the blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. You know, when you think about sin, my friend, sin brings terrible consequences. That's what it does. It brings about physical death. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17. You remember the conversation? He told him, of every tree thou mayest eat in the garden, thou mayest freely eat thereof. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat thereof. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. My friend, sin is a terrible thing. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So what you have is you have physical death, you have spiritual death, you have dead in sins, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you have eternal death and misery. That's what sin produces. Jesus had to come shed his blood to get us from under that death sentence. Had to be the blood. And I'm just simply telling you, when you got Jesus, you got everything you need wrapped up in him, because his blood is salvation. Hebrews 9, verse number 22.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God the Apostle Paul wasn't offended in Jesus. Because the Bible says in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou, rise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He identified with Jesus in his death and his burial and his resurrection when he was baptized, contacted the blood of Jesus Christ, and cleansed his soul. My friends, you got to take Jesus as he is, because his blood is salvation. And finally, his church is salvation. His church represents the saved. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. See, his church represents salvation. You got to get in there. It also represents his bride, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23. It represents his bride. It represents his body, and it put all things under his feet, giving him the head of all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. There is but one body. Body in the church is the same thing. There is but one body. Why did he say that? Because the Jew and Gentile had now come into that one body. They had come into that one church. And so that the Jew don't say to the Gentile, who's been at odds all of their history, they've been fighting and killing one another forever. The Jews didn't want no dealings with them, on and on and on. You know the history of the Gentiles and the Jews. Sometimes the Gentiles would put the Jews under persecution, and sometimes they would put them under slavery, and sometimes they would capture them, and all this kind of stuff. And we know the history of this. And now here comes Christ, who comes through the Jews' line as the Savior and the Redeemer. And then the Jews find out that God called in the Gentiles and allowing them to come into the kingdom equally with the Jews. Well, that didn't sit well with the Jews. So many of them was rejecting Christ. But now you have the church beginning, the one body for Jew and Gentile. And he tells them, Paul says, wait a minute. I therefore beseech ye by the mercy of God. Because when you get into this body, you need to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, because there is one body. Why do I need to say that? Because the Jew might say to the Gentile, you got your church and I got mine.
Yes.
Wait a minute, what's the body? It is the church. Put all things under his feet, give him the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him filleth all. How many bodies? Just one. There's one church, one body. Colossians 1, verse number 18 as well. Colossians 1, verse number 24. There is one body, and the body and the church are the same institution. So what is he saying? I say to the Gentile, and I say to the Jew, y'all might as well go ahead and get this together. Learn to love each other. Learn to endeavor and keep and have these things that will help you. You need to have the type right frame of mind. You need to work together in a unified way to keep the unity of the Spirit who has called you all through this one gospel into this one body, this one church, so that you don't say you got yours and I got mine. Wait a minute, only one faith. Why? So you don't say you got your faith and I got my faith. Only one. One hope. There's Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, this is not my hope. That's your hope, but this is my hope. Mm-mm, just one hope. And we saved by Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25. And that's the hope of heaven, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4. Just one. Just one hope. And you get brought together in that one body, in that one church, where you are unified in that place that is Christ's body. Now, it represents his kingdom. He says, and I say unto thee, the third Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. A kingdom started that day, the same day the church began, because they're one in the same institution. If one is in the kingdom, he's in the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. Paul said to them, they have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. But John says that I am your brother, your fellow brother in this persecution. And he says, I am in the kingdom and the church. My friends, when you come into Christ's church, you're coming into his body. You're coming into as a bride of Christ. You're coming into him for salvation. You're coming into his kingdom. You're coming into the fellowship of the saints. Let me ask you this. Jesus finishes his teaching. And there you are, like those disciples. You going to get something else? Are you going to get something else? Do you need something else? Or do you have everything you need right there in your
house?
They took him as he was, and it worked out for their salvation. I suggest to you today, that's what the Church of Christ is about. We're going to take him as he is, and it will work out to your salvation. I don't want any other man's name. I don't want any other system of religion. I don't want any of those man-made institutions, denominations, because the Church of Christ is undenominational Christianity. We don't need any of that. All we need is Jesus, for salvation is in his name. Salvation, my friends, is in his cross. If I want the crown, I got to go by way of the cross. Paul said, yea, and all that you look God that shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. If you somehow avoid it, you did something even Jesus couldn't do. Salvation is in his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, I'm going to tell you how to reach the blood. You've got to be baptized into Christ. When you hear about Jesus Christ and you believe that he is the Savior of the world, that he was God in the flesh, and you are willing to repent as he said to you, repent or perish, when you're willing to turn around and change your life and come out of these man-made different denominations and all those kind of things and just accept Jesus only. When you're ready to confess him with the mouth and salvation, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32-33, and when you're ready to be immersed in water, 1 Peter 3:21, which the Bible says save you, the denominations that tell you baptism don't save anybody. It's an outward sign of inward grace. And that you are saved before you're baptized. You're baptized and become a member of their church. That's not what the scriptures teaches you. You gotta open up your Bible. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. Paul was baptized and it washed away his sins. In Romans 6:3-4, we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Buried into his death and into our death. And so we imitate him and we resurrect to walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Colossians 2:11-12, God operates on us, cut away the old man in baptism, like a new circumcision, but greater. On and on, my friends. This is why you need salvation. And when you come into Christ that way, you'll reach the blood that we was talking about in Revelation 1:5, where he shed it in his death. And when you get buried into his death, that blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your soul by faith. You're added to his body, the church. You be faithful in that one church that you can read about in your Bible. And when this life is over, then heaven can be your home, because you're now a subject in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many more things we could say about these kind of things, but I have to let you out of here at some point. Brother Craig told me I can go a little bit longer today because we only have one service. I don't get a chance to have you come back, and let's hear some more of this. So I gave you plenty. Did I give you enough scripture?
Yes.
Now, if you got time, I got more. But that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough that if you are an honest person and you are seeing the scriptures explained for you, you understand it. And if you don't and you want to ask questions, we'll give you more. But listen, that ought to be enough to get you on up here. I'm standing here. You can come on up to me. Behind that screen, we'll let that screen up, and we got a baptismal pool there. Why? Because anytime you see in scripture people being baptized, there was no wait 3 months, 3 weeks, 6 months, and all of this kind of stuff, wait until we get enough people. Why? People do that when they don't believe it has anything to do with your salvation. But if you come to the church of Christ, we baptize you in the same hour, just like the Bible said, every time there was a baptism. Every time people were getting saved, they were baptized right then, right there. Oh, we baptize you right now. Come on forward. I got clothes back there. You don't even have to bring your own clothes. We got clothes back there to change you into. Take you right up in there. And before everybody, baptize you into Christ. Let you get dressed. And we done fed your soul. We done saved your soul. And then we gonna feed your body when we go in that next room. Now that's worth more than gold. I'm glad we didn't bribe you to come here with money. We didn't need to. We are offering you something much greater and a greater value. Now, as I say, sometimes when you preach and you do this in front of people and you see all these folks in here and you know somebody needs to come, and then we're going to sing a song and they're going to say, oh, Brother Disney, he preached that sermon and no one came forward. That don't affect me, because it don't affect our Lord. Everybody deserves a chance to hear the gospel. I did my part. Now your heart will determine whether or not you will do yours. But let me tell you something. These truthful words will see you again one day if you spurn this invitation. We're inviting you. If you came in here a sinner, don't leave out one. You came in here in denominationalism, let go of it and come on to Christ this morning and come to the church. You can read about it in your Bible. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing the invitation song. Come on to Jesus this morning. Have you